I think in images most of the time. Maybe that's why I've enjoyed so much restudying Revelation, and in some ways studying it in depth for a long time. Things generate images in my mind. As I talked about the actors who I thought would play the characters, I see things. And a lot of times I have images. Some people, when you say a word, the word comes up on their mental screen, like physically, the letters. And I see pictures. But I was just thinking about some of the key words that I've kind of hoped you've caught on to or heard. And I'm just going to make the list and overcome. What the heaven is going on? Cosmic Christ. It's probably my favorite of the weekend. That's what. Cosmic Christ. Citrus. First love. Throne. Beast and dragon. Coffee stirrer. Imperial cult. Seven churches. Fight like a lamb. Worship. Holy. 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 I found that, especially at a retreat, that we all go home with slightly different things, and that's good. The Holy Spirit's applying it to us specifically. But the one word I haven't made much of today that really we should all take away from the revelation of Jesus Christ is the final word emphasized in the book. The word is come. Come. I'm going to read the final section of Revelation, not even the section, just pieces. Chapter 22, verse 12, and then we're going to back up and talk a little bit about something else, but I want to leave with this word emphasized. We'll start with verse 12 of chapter 22. Behold, mira, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, first and last, beginning and end. If that's not clear, it's a threefold slogan. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they might have the right to the tree of life. Go down to verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride, that's the church, this Holy Spirit and the church say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. That's the next word, actually. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Ultimately, to overcome, you must remember that Jesus is coming again. If he's not, all the suffering, all the pain is just torture. But if we know there's an end, even the most difficult things, they're not easy, but we can overcome. Many people have said this, you've heard it. The only way to lose in the Christian life is to stop. If we just overcome, that just means getting up the next day. And there's mercy new every morning. But I wonder how often, and I know I don't, and I don't think many of us pray this prayer enough, this simple prayer, Lord Jesus, come. And that's the prayer that reminds us that Jesus will finish the game. Come, Lord. Come, please, soon. Rescue me from this world and make a new one. Now, we know the end of our journey is clear. the new heavens and new earth, and we're saying, let's come, Lord Jesus, let's get going, let's finish this thing, let's get where we need to go. But like any journey, this journey is better when we take it with someone else, right? I mean, I've taken trips by myself where I have to drive a long ways, and I've had a decent time listening to the radio or music or whatever. But all the major memories in life are built around the fact when someone's with you. Even a retreat like this, the journey here will be memorable because you're with people. And throughout the book of Revelation, there's an emphasis that Jesus, the Lamb, is not interested in saving individuals, which he does, but he's interested in saving peoples, nations, tribes, and tongues. He understands that this journey from cross to the end, that he wants every person in the world, every culture in the world, every socioeconomic group in the world, he wants them to be a part of this great journey to the end, and they're at the final party. There are at least three images in the book of Revelation that are repeated that tell us that the Lamb is working to save the world. The first image is repeated in a few places. It says that he is making us a kingdom of priests. This phrase is lifted out of Exodus chapter 19. This is the part where the people of God, the new people of God, have been called out of Egypt. They've been saved. They've been rescued. They're now at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and they're about to get the 20, or it's 20, in chapter 20, they're about to get the Ten Commandments. And Moses is receiving the word of the Lord, and it says that I'm making you a people, because they weren't really a people before, they weren't a nation before. I'm making Israel a nation so that they would become a priest, a kingdom of priests. What do priests do? They link people to God. It's the role of reconciliation, of bringing parties together. They are the middleman between God and the people. Where do we get the phrase Chi Alpha from? If you don't know, you will know now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, we have a ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. We are Chi Alpha. At the very beginning of the book of Revelation, if it's in the beginning, it's a pretty good sign. It's a key issue. Chapter 1, verse 6, it says, we are made a kingdom of priests. It's repeated after the vision of the slain lamb. And it says that we are to be a kingdom of priests to every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. Our job in this world is not simply to overcome, but to overcome and to bring and to testify to the fact that we are overcoming through the blood of the Lamb and to link other people to the work of the Lamb. We are to be a kingdom of priests. One of the wonderful things about working in a culturally Catholic country is that when I introduce myself and they say, what do you do? And it's very confusing. Because there's not, the word pastor in Spanish actually means shepherd. They don't have the other use of it. And so for a long time I tried to figure out what to say. And so now I say I'm a sacerdote, I'm a priest, which is very confusing because I have a wife and three children. And then I have to say, well, I'm a Protestant priest. And they're like, oh, I don't, okay. You know, just total confusion. But the longer I've been there, the more I like the fact that I'm a priest. Because that's what we're supposed to be. And as I work with people who don't know Jesus, I say, I know this wonderful Jesus who died for you, who wants you to overcome, and who will come back again and make all things right. What a great job just to link people together. You know what? And that's all of our roles. It's not a professional ministry thing. But all you need to do is, there are people at UVA who don't know Jesus, and you know Jesus, you're like, hey, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. Here's what he's meant to me. If nothing else, that's evangelism. There, you know, we can talk about strategies and it all is just like, hey, you know, come with me. I got this small group. I'm just bringing people to the slain lamb. The second major emphasis is this use of the phrase tongues, tribes, people, nations. Now, John, of course, we already know, loves using cool numbers, symbolic numbers. And it just so happens that that fourfold phrase, now what does fourfold mean? It means complete, right? It's the whole enchilada. If you use Mexican Spanish, I guess I know. Enchilada entera. That every time he mentions, not every time he mentions nations, but every time this phrase comes together, he never does it in threes or fives or twos. It's always four. Because they, all peoples, every single way you can cut, every socioeconomic situation, every cultural background, the whole thing, and that phrase, the four things together, and sometimes it's in different order, but those four things together is used seven times in the Revelation. There's lots of sevens. There's another one. Seven times, tribes, tongues, people, nations. Jesus doesn't just care about people generic. He doesn't just care about people individual. He is looking around the world and he sees groups of people who in their diverse expression of humanity were made to image him in a way that another group somewhere else won't quite image him in the same way, won't quite reflect him in the same way, right? Every individual reflects God uniquely, but also every cultural context has something about them that uniquely reflects the glory of God. And Jesus died for that ethnic group, that cultural group. So often in the contemporary world, we think of nations in political ways. In Spain, we have four languages. A lot of people don't know that. Spanish, of course, being the largest one, but Catalan is spoken by 14 million people. We also have Basque, which is about 2 million people, and Galician, which is about 2 million people. When Jesus looks at a map, he sees Spaniards and Catalans and Basque and Galicians. And it's so important as the church of God that we see these groups, and some of them, like the Basque, have less than 0.5% of people who know him. In my majority culture in Spain, only about 1, possibly 2%. We have churches in the Catalan region, but only one of them speaks Catalan. And the Lamb says, that people's group, they are for me. I need people from that tribe and that tongue, that nation, small n, to worship me. When we look at the world, there are unreached people's groups all over the planet, tribes who've never heard, never had an adequate witness. Interestingly enough, the word lamb is used 28 times. You guys remember your factors? What is that? 7 times 4. John, through his use of symbolic numbers, is pointing out that the Lamb cares about the four. In other words, John the Revelator sees the vision, has the curtains pulled back, and what does he see the Lamb doing? The Lamb's work is for the whole world. The whole work for the whole world. We have such a tendency to love Jesus, experience him, and that fallenness in us just turns that thing inside, and all of a sudden we just enjoy the benefits for ourselves. It's the hardest thing about any Christian community to maintain is our outward focus. But the Lamb's work is for the whole world. What a shame when we keep it to ourselves. What a shame that in our wealth, spiritually and financially, we don't send people around the world. That's how big the Lamb's work is. Finally, at the end of the book of Revelation, just previous to what we read earlier, was the tree of life. The tree of life is mentioned several places in the Revelation, but of course this is not the first time we saw the tree of life. The original tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. There was one tree we couldn't eat of, and we did. And there's also the tree of life, which we always were allowed to eat of. It was the center tree. It was the symbol of God's spirit, God's life still working in us and through us. In other words, all life is God's, and He's the source of all goodness. And at the very end, we have the tree of life, and it's there. And it says it grows up on both sides of the river of life. That's a lot of life. Irrigation from the temple of God that flows out in a river to the trees of life. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, he also mentions this tree of life, and he says that it has fruit every month, and that its leaves are for healing. John takes that quote and adjusts it, and he says that there are 12 kinds of fruit, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. In other words, we who have enjoyed the benefits of the slain Lamb and His work on the cross, we have been made a kingdom of priests to do the same work that the Lamb is doing, and that is His word to the whole world. And at the end of time, the tree that at first appeared just for us is really meant for every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. The tree of life is for everyone. I simply ask you this. Are you about the Lamb's work? Are you doing what the Lamb is doing? And the good news is He's already working. It's not just us. The Lamb is about saving every people, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. The Lamb deserves the full fruit of His labor. He died for the world. He deserves the world. I'll close with this story. You may hear this again if I ever run into you. One of our young ladies, the first of the UVA ladies, was meeting with another young lady who was struggling. She had a verbally and emotionally abusive friend, or boyfriend. I can't remember who it was, if it was Carson or Robin or Julie. I don't even remember. I think it was either Carson or Robin because they had boyfriends at the time. And they began to talk and relate about that and just saying that that wasn't a normal to have a boyfriend who does that, you know. But the girl was more afraid of being alone than she was of her boyfriend. And that spilled over into a conversation about the love of Jesus, how the Lamb had died for her. And she turned and said to Robin or Carson and said, why hasn't anyone ever told me this before? The Lamb looks down on His world. And you see people's groups, cultures, people meant to glorify Him uniquely. And no one's ever told Him about the slain Lamb. I ask you again, are you about the Lamb's work? Pete, come on up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have enjoyed Your presence. We have participated with the divine worship that is happening in heaven right now. And Lord, we come out of that blessed and encouraged, freed, loved. But we also come out with a responsibility to be about the Lamb's business. As we step onto grounds today, remind us that there are people on UVA who don't know You. Remind us that there are people in Spain who don't know You. And help us figure out what we can do about it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.